invite the children to go to children's worship if they so desire. This morning, we are beginning a new sermon series about biblical reality shows. Did you know those were in the Bible too? The families of the Bible are our families. Their stories are our stories. Just like them, we live with proud moments and sometimes with all of our flaws hanging out as well. As we walk through some of these stories from the time of the judges, let us learn from these biblical reality shows how to care for one another, how best to care for one another. When I initially shared with the worship team that I was thinking about doing this series, I had suggested doing soap operas as a way to describe it, and they kindly redirected me and suggested that more people watch reality shows than do soap operas. So I hope that's right. They told me that reality shows have really become the new soap operas. So, wonder if you've heard of this one. For the last 13 years, The Amazing Race has broadcasted across the television waves one challenge. Two people making it all the way around the world with challenges and detours, setbacks, and a map that was designed by the producers, hoping to get there first. Over 25 seasons, 275 pairs have attempted this journey. Doesn't that sound like our lives? An amazing race, trying to make it in the midst of setbacks and detours, challenges. Some of these twosomes have known each other as colleagues or roommates. Some are couples who have gotten together. Some are parents and children, all kinds of affiliation. But one thing is certain. While physical endurance is helpful, the relationship matters most. It's said on the commentary of boards of folks who watch this, fatigue of relationship is the most common reason people don't make it around the world. That is to say, they get tired of working with the person they're supposed to be working with, going around the world. Living in close quarters with your partner can be challenging. Does this ring any bells? Like any reality show, you and I both know, there are moments that are shaped and that are packaged. There's dialogue that's edited and some that's emphasis, but I wonder if we don't resonate just a little bit with the amazing race, not only in our lives, but in the scriptures as well. Our Old Testament lesson today came from the little book of Ruth, just four chapters. If you ever want to say you've accomplished reading a book, Ruth is the one to do. You can sit down and read it in an afternoon. It's sandwiched in between the book of Judges and 1 Samuel. It's the story of one family in the midst of a series of stories about a nation. And the first chapter, as Ken shared with us, starts about the time when the judges ruled. That is the time of chaos and disobedience that happened in Israel. Just before this verse, at the end of Judges, we hear, in those days there was no king in Israel, and the people did just what was right in their own eyes. Sounds an awful lot like a reality show all of a sudden, doesn't it? We'll see that doing what's right in your eyes never works out well for the people of the Bible. This story in Ruth only has a couple of characters. You met all of them. Naomi, the mother of two sons and the wife of one husband, all of whom were a family upstanding in God's eyes, and who went in search of food. There was famine in the land. Tragedy after tragedy. Husband dies, and so do the two sons, Ruth and Orpah. Tragedy beset tragedy, and Naomi, who's just about ready to give up, tries to release her daughters-in-law. Go home to your people. Worship your gods. Perhaps there's food where you are. She sends them with blessing and with goodness. Orpah goes after some initial dissent, but Ruth is the one we hang on to. Her actions are unique. Her speech surprises us. You see, she's not known this God that she met through Naomi. And she wants to cling to the God who she's learned in her father-in-law and in her husband, in her brother-in-law and in her mother-in-law, the God who she's come to meet. She wants to know a little bit more about. Now, if we were in a reality show at this moment, the music would swell, the camera would zoom in, and you'd hear her speech with pomp and circumstance. You'd hear, where you go, I will go, and where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people. Can't you hear some Shakespeare in this? Where you die, I will die. I'll be buried there. May the Lord do thus and so to me, even if death parts us. She declares her commitment to Naomi, but to God. The people through whom she has come to know God, she clings to. In this unlikely pairing, we're reminded that models of love don't always come from the places we expect. It's not just models of parents and children. It's not just models of spouses for each other. It can be love found in chosen friends and chosen families. We find love lived out in those who seem only marginally connected. No in-law jokes here whatsoever. Just a wholesome story of God's love shining through. I think of that story when I think of All Saints Day. For many of us who are remembering persons today, we think of those who have run part of the race with us. Those who have inspired us and encouraged us. Perhaps those who have sometimes even frustrated or challenged us. On this All Saints Sunday, we remember all who have gone before us in the faith. As United Methodists, we have a different understanding of the word saints. Eileen alluded to it for us. The word saints is not just those who have been set apart as perfect or been given miracles or beatified. Instead, we look to those who've lived faithful life, who, like stained glass, have let God's love shine through them so that we might see clearly who God is. Sometimes this is through specific acts of outreach or compassion. Today you might be thinking of stories of your loved one that you, like Ruth, cling onto, not having any desire to let go of and having lots of interest in emulating those things they've taught you. Sometimes it's through the ways in which we remember the vignettes of their lives. Perhaps it's also the honest lives of those who strove towards God's goodness and found other parts of life in the process that we remember for their humanity and God's grace. From the earliest days of the church, we have turned to the cloud of witnesses, the saints of the church for inspiration and encouragement on how we live today. As you remember your loved ones this morning, remember that there are those, perhaps some of them were up here this morning, who turn to you, who look at you as their cloud of witnesses, who look at the way that you respond to adversity, at the way you shine in the midst of roadblocks, and in the way you live out your faith, that they might recall even years later, "Do you remember that one?" Can you almost hear them say? It's not always just the next generation, though, who's looking around. I wonder if it isn't our peers who glance sideways for the ways you've cared for your grandchildren when things have been difficult, when you've responded well when cut off in traffic. Perhaps it's your peers who seek inspiration when their patience has been tested again and again and again, and they see you respond in a different way. It's our church, it's our community, who seeks to emulate you as well, the way you've loved one another in the midst of roadblock and challenge. So as you and I journey from this place, we are certainly on an amazing race. There may not be any television cameras around to see exactly how we're going to do it. And there will be times when we get terribly tired of the ones that we're traveling with. However, indeed God calls us as a cloud of witnesses to urge one another on, to travel together on this amazing race, to walk in joy and in challenge. We're a people who need one another and who cling to those who show us God. We meet both this morning, not only in the gathered body of the church, but as we come to the communion table. We meet both the communion of saints who we can know longer see, and the communion of saints whose faces surround us. Let us come to the table to accept God's grace. This, my friends, is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. Amen. As we come to the table today, we come bringing the prayers of joy and of concern of our hearts. I remind you to be in prayer for those found within your bulletin on the prayer list. Let us begin the liturgy. The Lord is with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Almighty God, Creator of heaven and earth, God of Abraham and Sarah, God of Miriam and Moses, God of Joshua and Deborah, God of Ruth and David, God of the priests and the prophets, God of Mary and Joseph, God of the apostles and the martyrs, God of our mothers and our fathers, God of our children to all generations. And so with all your people on earth and the company of heaven, including those we name before you now. Betsy Bard. Robert Brannion, Janet Birch, Margaret A. D. Cristofaro, Marjorie L. Gibson, George Harrison. Benny Hughes. David J. Hurst. Anna Ignacy. Reverend Hussock Lee. Robert C. McLaughlin. Daphne Sharon Merritt. Louis Michael. Paul V. Pearson, Jr. Ruth Radcliffe. Alvin Reinheimer, Sr. Robert E. Rubicam. Linda Ruckman. James Shriver. Gladys E. Taylor. Mae Whitman. And all those we remember in our hearts, reminded by the central candles at the table. We praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, 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 holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made a new covenant with us by water and the Spirit. On the night in which Jesus gave himself up for us, he took bread. He gave thanks to you, and he broke the bread, giving it to his disciples and saying, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When the supper was over, in a similar way, he took the cup. He gave thanks to you. He gave it to his disciples and he said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us, as we proclaim together the mystery of faith.
Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we might be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. Renew our communion with all your saints. Since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, strengthen us to run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry with all the world, until Christ comes in final victory, and we feast at his heavenly banquet. through your Son, Jesus Christ, with your Holy Spirit in your Holy Church. All honor and glory is yours, Almighty God, now and forever.
Amen.
As children of God, let us join our voices together in the prayer that he has taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever.
Amen.